Today on The Journey.
My name, staying in the Lamb's Book of Life, is not dependent on me. It's dependent on the eternal God. He's the one by His Spirit who has sealed me and says, this is guarantee you're mine forever.
Do you have the mark of authenticity? The eternal certification that you're God's priceless treasure, secured for all eternity? Well, today, Ron Moore talks with us about that peace-giving seal and its promise of the riches to come. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron Moore's digital devotional, More Than Words. It contains 30 daily meditations that open the Lord's Prayer so you can discover all the treasures hidden there. More Than Words is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Sealed, On the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We are studying through this letter to Ephesus, written by the Apostle Paul from a prison in Rome. And Paul begins by telling those in Ephesus in verse 3 of chapter 1 that they have been blessed in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. They are spiritual millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires. They have the blessings of heaven, every spiritual blessing in Christ. And they're to live like that. First, Paul says they have been chosen by God. Before the creation of the world, based on absolutely nothing they had done, God chose them to be His own. He chose them to be holy and blameless before Him. In love, before the creation of the world, He determined that they would be His sons and daughters based on nothing they had done, chosen by God. He redeemed them. They were living in sin, and so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for their sins on a cross, to purchase their salvation, their eternity, with His blood. And now today we're going to look at verses 13 and 14, and there we see that not only have we been chosen, not only have we been redeemed, but it is guaranteed. Look at verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Now, Paul begins by saying, you also were included in Jesus Christ. And to understand who the you is in this verse, we need to look back at verses 11 and 12. Paul says in verse 11, in Him we, talking about himself and the Jews, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with His purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. So in 11 and 12, we have we, and in verse 13, we have you. Who are these two groups? They are the Jews, the we. They are the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the you. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says this, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and then to the Gentile. First to the Jew. God chose the Jewish nation to be His, a picture of what He has done for us, based on nothing they had done, not based on their size, not based on their power. He chose them to be His. And He blessed them. He gave them His commandments. He gave them His instruction. He gave them His covenants. He gave them His laws. He taught them how to worship. Prophecies about the coming Messiah came from Him, and the Messiah came from the Jewish nation. In fact, in John 4, 22, Jesus Himself says salvation is from the Jews. But now in the New Testament, things have changed. God still has a great plan for the Jewish nation, I believe. But now, here in Ephesians and in the present day, He is working not through the Jewish nation, but a new community called the church. made up of every country, made up of every tribe, made up of every nationality, made up of every race. The Jews first, but now also he has included us, the Gentiles. We, the Jews, you, Gentiles, were included in Christ. Now in verses 4 through 6, we saw the sovereign work of God in our salvation. And we noted that before the foundation of the world, God chose us to be his own. His choice, he adopted us as his sons and daughters. And we talked about the sovereign work of God in salvation, and certainly it is. We also talked about another aspect of truth found in Scripture, the human responsibility of our becoming believers. We said there are two friends in Scripture, the sovereignty of God and human responsibility. We have seen so far the sovereignty of God. But now we see in verse 13, again, human responsibility. Let's look at that, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ. When did that happen? From a human standpoint, when did that happen? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The first step was your hearing. You heard the message of Jesus Christ. You heard teaching. You heard a testimony. You heard something that explained to you your sinful condition. You heard something that explained to you that Jesus Christ came to die for your sin. You heard something that explained to you that unless you trusted in Jesus Christ alone, the only way to have a relationship with the eternal God, you could not know him now and you could not live with him for eternity. You heard the message of truth. But I want to be quick to add that simply hearing the truth does not make you a Christian. And there may be many of you who are stuck at step one. And you have heard the truth, and you have heard the truth, and you have heard the truth about Jesus Christ, about his being God in the flesh, about his coming to this earth and his living and his dying on a cross for the sacrifice of your sins, but you have not responded to him. I grew up in Oklahoma, and during the spring and summer, we had weather that birthed tornadoes. And we would be watching TV in the evening, and a little beep would come on, and it would say, "We interrupt this program to bring you a weather advisory." And then the weatherman would come on, and he would stand before a big map of Oklahoma, and he would show you how this weather over here is developing. And if he gave a tornado watch, that meant the weather was ripe for a tornado. If he gave a tornado warning, you go take shelter. And so when we heard our sirens go off, we would go out the back door into the garage, and we would pick up this heavy door, and we would go into our cellar, and there we would wait out the storm until the all clear siren blew so we could come out. Now we heard the warning, and then we had a choice. We either could respond to it or not respond to it. If we responded to it, we were safe. If we didn't respond to it, we took our chances with the storm. Many of you have heard the warning. Wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God. The Bible calls that hell. If you don't trust in Christ, that's where you spend eternity. And he doesn't want you to miss the warning. So having heard the message, how will you respond? Look again at verse 14. Having believed, that's when you were marked in him with a seal. The next step of a human responsibility is belief. First you hear, then you believe. Belief means that you place your life in his. You trust in him alone as the only way you can know eternity. Again, it's the work of God, but from a human responsibility, the hearing, the believing. Today, I challenge you to respond and trust in Jesus Christ. And notice what happens when you believe. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit is broad. But today, let's look at three designations that we get from this passage of Scripture. First of all, we see that the Holy Spirit is God's promise, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an afterthought. God, from the foundation of the world, has known the Holy Spirit would come because we are sinners. We cannot be His unless He chooses us. We cannot be clean enough unless Christ redeems us. We are not able to live a life pleasing to Him unless the Spirit enables us. It takes the work of the Godhead in our lives for us to know Him forever and live a life pleasing to Him. And so He has promised the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." You can't do it unless I give you my spirit. You can't live a life for me unless I give you my spirit. In the New Testament, Christ promised the Holy Spirit as well. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Now Christ is preparing the disciples for His death. He has come in the flesh. He's getting ready to die, and He's going to rise again, and He's going to see them again, but He's going to ascend into heaven, and He's not going to be with them any longer physically. So He says in verse 15, "Now, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask my Father, and He will give you another counselor." Christ was the first one. "I'm going to give you another counselor to be with you for how long? Forever." He is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and He lives in you. The Holy Spirit of promise, promised throughout the Old Testament, promised by Christ Himself. And we see His coming in Acts when the Holy Spirit comes down on the day of Pentecost and fills the disciples. And these men who were hiding in fear now are boldly proclaiming the message of God. What's the difference? They were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, who will be with them forever, who is not only with them but in them, enabling them to share boldly the message. God's promise, the Holy Spirit. Not only that, secondly, He is God's seal. Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal. Now, in the New Testament, when you sent a letter, you took your document and you folded it in however many pieces you wanted to fold it. And then, right on that last edge, you took some wax and you poured wax on the edge. And every family of significance had a signet ring. It was the mark of their family, a big ring. And the head of the family would take the ring, and while the wax was still warm, he would stamp his family's signature in that wax, and so the letter was sent in that way. And so when you received the letter, you saw who it was from, because there's the seal. You saw that it was authentic, and you saw that the contents had been protected because the seal wasn't broken. Still set. God says His seal on our hearts is the Holy Spirit. And just think of this picture. Think of your heart. Not your muscle there, but the seat of your emotions and your mind, your spirit, your soul. And as it were, God takes His warm wax and He pours it over your soul. And then He takes His Spirit and He stamps into that warm wax the sign of His Spirit. And He is marking you as His. You're His possession and will be forever. Two significant things about the sealing of the Spirit. First, the Spirit marks us as God's possession. When we have the mark of the Spirit on our hearts, but the Spirit confirms that we belong to Him. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." You can't see that from the outside. We just know it because God tells us that's the case. Romans 8:9 says, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." Consequently, if you do have the Spirit of Christ, you belong to Christ, God's possession. Straightforward, isn't it? The mark of the Spirit on our hearts makes us God's possession. The second significance here is that the seal of the Spirit gives us protection and security. The Holy Spirit, as it were, builds a fortress around our hearts. And as Satan tries to come in by night and steal our souls away, he can't do it because the Holy Spirit is there fighting for our very souls. So the significance of the seal is we are God's possession, we are protected for as long as the Spirit stays with us. How long will that be? Forever. By God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And let's begin reading in verse 33. The question here is, will God's protection ever break down? Will something happen where he breaks the seal? Could something happen where we could break the seal? Could something come from outside to break the seal? Paul answers that question in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. First, who's going to bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? Well, it's God who justifies, so no one can bring a charge. God has established that. And who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and who is interceding for us. He's died for us. He's redeemed us. He has bought us. He's not going to condemn us. He's already paid for our sins, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Maybe something from the outside can separate us from the love of God. Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as is written, for your sake we face death all day long, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Can something from the outside cause maybe us to break the seal? Verse 37, no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Paul says, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are sealed with an unbreakable seal. But that's not all. There's a guarantee. Look at verse 14, back in Ephesians. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. A deposit is a first installment, isn't it? You know this. You've bought homes. You've bought cars. It's a pledge that you're giving a part of the purchase price, not all of it right now, but a part of the purchase price. And you have now the legal claim to that object. But in putting down that down payment, you are obligating yourself to pay it in full. That's what a deposit is. Financial people know that. Some of the rest of us live with that. A deposit, guaranteeing that we're going to pay for what we have put the deposit on. Paul says the Holy Spirit is our deposit, guaranteeing that God will finish what he started. Guaranteeing that one day he will bring us home to heaven. Guaranteeing that the fullness of our inheritance will one day come to fruition. Certainly we as Christians, we have a taste of eternity, but not there yet. And the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that it is going to come. C.S. Lewis wrote this. At present, we are on the outside of the world, the wrong side. We discern the freshness and the purity of the morning, but they don't make us fresh and pure. But the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in. By the promise of the Holy Spirit, one day we will be there. Fully paid, full inheritance, and God will wipe away every tear from our eye. No more death, no more crying, no more pain. Minds fully restored, bodies fully restored, finally with the Lord. But now we have the guarantee. It is going to happen. We will get in. C.S. Lewis again said this, there have been times when I think we do not desire heaven. But more often, I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts, we have ever desired anything else. I heard of one old Puritan preacher named Henry Venn. He was told by the doctors he was going to die. Here's what his biography says. The prospect of his dying made him so high-spirited and jubilant that his doctor said his joy kept him alive for another 2 weeks. A little counterproductive there, isn't it? The seal of the Holy Spirit guaranteed one day you will receive the payment in full. Now, I want to be careful because I'm not here today to give anyone a license to sin. That is not the case. When you understand what God has done, you don't want to sin. You want to respond to Him in love, in service. But I want you to know that when God works in your heart and when He redeems you by Christ, He guarantees it. I want us to live. I want to live. I want you to live in the freedom of knowing that my name staying in the Lamb's Book of Life is not dependent on me, it's dependent on the eternal God. He's the one who chose me based on nothing I had ever done. He's the one who redeemed me by Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve that. And He's the one by His Spirit who has sealed me and says, this is a guarantee, you're mine forever. What can separate us from the love of God? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future. No extreme. Nothing we can do. Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God, believers, that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Have you ever happened upon an old familiar trunk stored in the attic that you'd never opened? It had been there for years, a constant companion to your other family heirlooms, but to that point, unexplored. Then one day you had a look inside and discovered treasures you'd only dreamed of. Items with rich history that revealed more about you and your heritage than you ever imagined. Well, that's a lot like the spiritual wealth found in the Lord's Prayer. In his digital devotional, More Than Words, Ron Moore unlocks and opens this favorite biblical passage. There, in 30 daily meditations, he unveils rich concepts the Lord Jesus intended for you to find and enjoy. Items like living in awe of God, living in forgiveness, and seeking spiritual protection. A PDF copy of More Than Words is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Give me a man or woman who has a lot of Bible knowledge, and I'll try to help you get on Jeopardy. But you give me a man or woman who has a heart that beats for God, and we can change the world. It's about knowing God and building our relationship with Him. David said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? I want to know Him. And that's Paul's prayer for us, to know God in a personal and intimate way. And not only was that Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and us, but it was also Paul's prayer for himself. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget to drop by our website to order your copy of Ron's PDF devotional titled More Than Words. Understanding its biblical truths will revolutionize your prayer life. More Than Words is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. ronmoore.org. Also, we invite you to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our online worship services and special events, plus Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.